my hiding place. And that comes from a psalm, Psalm 32.4. And it's David speaking from his heart, a man who had a heart after God. And God knows our hearts. That's where he aims. I'm going to read not what's on the notes there, first of all. I'm going to read from the New King James Version and then come back to the other translation, which goes into the original language and presents it in words that apply to us living in the New Covenant. They apply to David, who lived in the Old Covenant, but somehow he, in his own heart, seemed to sneak across into the New Covenant. He just got revelation. He just got there somehow in his heart. Let me read it to you from verse 4 in the New King James. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. He's talking there about the enemy, the condemnation, the judgment, which used in those days to come through flesh and blood. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But for him, it was people, it was armies, etc. And God would use armies against Israel to bring his dealings upon them. But so David's talking about that, but we are talking, when we look at it, as the enemy, darkness that tries to get at our soul, our spirit, and rob us of faith and bring us into condemnation. All right, so that's one of those parallels. Next verse, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Deliver us from evil. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bitten bridle, or else they won't come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Now I'll go to the notes and read. We're talking about the hiding place. I want you to keep that in the back of your mind, that this is where David is taking us, talking about his God, whom he had the likeness of heart with. And David was going to the Lord as his hiding place, going there for refuge. But not only that, David was learning not to just have that as a place, or him as a place to go to, but as a place to live from. And that's a very important aspect. It's not all about running for refuge. It's about coming out with peace and purpose, empowered, refreshed and energized by the Lord. As we've been with him, then we come from him into life. Psalm 32:4. Day and night I could feel life's pressure on me, and I knew it was your hand on me, getting my attention. Energy seemed to run out of my soul and evaporate like water on hot sand. David knew what it was like to be under pressure. So do you. Life brings pressure. Life is effort. There is some kind of effort we put into life that is more worthwhile than other kinds of effort that we put into life. But whatever it is, it takes up our energy. Many people live expending all of their energy on things in the material world. The worries, the cares, like the thorns that grow up and just choke the vine of life. That is a huge expense emotionally to the soul of a human being. And if all of that energy is going into just trying to manage the stuff of life, the toll that it takes is very difficult to find rest from. There's no rest for the wicked, it says, but it's not just wicked. It's just that the material world that seeks to just drag us into the place in our mind where there's anxiety, our emotions get attached to that, and it takes so much energy to work through all of those things that need to be worked through in our lives. And people spend then most of the other side of their life trying to recover from the cost of that. Recovering from the toll that all of that energy takes often even takes more energy. Because then they've got to try and think, well, if only I'd have done this, I had the answer. Now, what is the answer? Maybe I can find an answer. That's energy too. But there's another kind of energy. And that is the energy of your faith and your will to press through all of those things that are happening and touch God. I'm not kidding you, that is not easy. I find that getting through into the presence of God is one of the toughest challenges to my will that there is. Because I have to put aside the stuff that my mind says and my emotions say, you'd better worry, better get anxious, this is a big one, come on, spend more time worrying about me. And there's this other reality from the one who begot me, who created me, drawing me back because he owns me, saying, come back here. And the energy that it takes to just put that aside and get into God, it costs. But you know what? That's worthwhile. The Bible says labor to enter into the rest of God. Because the energy that that takes when you get there, the rest is profound. It's not like, oh, well, here I am, and now this is boring, and now there's more worry. No, there's a rest, and there's a refreshing. So we can choose what we're going to put our energy into. And I tell you, if you make the right choice, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I tell you, you find the place, your hiding place, from out of which you can come refreshed. Holy Spirit's at work pulling you into that place. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. We're the children of God. And he says, come on, come on. Next verse, 5. I finally admitted all my fears and failures to you and stopped trying to hide what I was like. When I opened up to you, your mercy and forgiveness took away all my guilt and shame. Calling this my hiding place. But there are two hiding places. One is this one, God's hiding place. There's the other one that we've got in our own head. The wrong hiding place of our imaginations. And some people can walk along the street and they're talking to themselves. You think, what's wrong with that person? They're locked into all the things that have gone wrong. I remember when I used to go to work in the middle of the city many, many years ago, there was often a man who had been middle-aged, dissipated in his life, and he would just walk along the footpath, and he would just keep saying, "It's wrong, it's all wrong, it's just wrong." And I'd go past him every day and I'd think, "Wonder what's gone wrong." But that was his hiding place. He lived there. I mean, what a terrible place to live. But he was saying it out loud. I thought to myself one day, well, I'm not quite as bad as that. I'm not yelling it out loud, but I'm saying some things to myself that aren't very positive. Anyway, that's not a good hiding place. This self-talk. You know, you've heard people say, you might have even said it to yourself, "I'm sick of myself." You ever heard people say that? You ever said that? "I can't live with myself." Now, what we've got to do is ask the question, who's talking to who? I mean, who's the self that can't live with that self? Are there two selves? Well, yeah, in a sense, yes. There must be a really organic, natural, real you that God has made in his image, with a conscience and with a compass and with like with a plumb line that tells you the good things, the right things, and where you're going and who you, what you admire, what you think is good, and so on. And that's the real you. And that's the one that's saying, "I can't live with myself." Because there's another self that wanders off, that gets lost, and causes all problems. And it lives in our head, and it's all the layers of things that have happened over our life where we've had to defend ourselves and fight our own battles and do all of that. And those sort of judgments that we make at those times, the kinds of decisions we make, often get us into more trouble and get us out of trouble. And so that there are these regrets, and then we say to ourselves, "I can't live with myself." Well, let's listen to the good self that says, "I don't want that other self." It's unacceptable. Well, I just want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what self it is. You might get into great stress feeling bad about yourself. And I've just said it. It's like there are two of us. Who can live with that self that you don't like? Well, I'll tell you who can. God can. He can manage that other self. He can say, "It's okay, settle down. I'm going to blend you back. I've got a bridge for you back home into who I really created you to be. You don't have to hide there. You don't have to label yourself with those things that you feel so bad about what you've done. I know why you've done them." He sang a song this morning. His unfailing love finds us, reaches to us deeper than oceans. He can come and find that restlessness. He can say, "It's unacceptable to you, but my mercy can dissolve that and bring you into the person. Join to me, whom I created you to be." And you don't have to have the wrong hiding place. I'm your hiding place. Next verse. What he's done, he's finally admitted his fears. He stopped trying to hide what he was like. Forgiveness and mercy took away the guilt and the shame. Now David has got a testimony to pass on in verse 6. This is the turnaround. "Now I say to anyone who comes under this kind of pressure and who believes in you," he's talking to God, "that they should open up to you like this when they're aware of what is going on." That is precisely the time for them to find your mercy and experience a new beginning. No judgment can touch anyone who does this. No condemnation. And you see and transparently say to God, these things need to be dealt with. He says, yeah, but my mercy can cover it. I know who you are. I know you. Now, some more good news in verse 7. David says to God, you have now become my hiding place from every storm of life, every attack of the enemy. You now even keep me from getting into trouble. You now surround me with songs of victory. That's the key thing. He's got good news for us. And he's saying to us, you can have good news for yourself and for others. Now God shows his hand. He gives David a promise that he's going to be faithful to. Verse 8, I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. As we sang this morning, my word is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. I will advise you and watch your progress. It will always be eye to eye and heart to heart. That's God promising direction, comfort. This eye to eye and heart to heart, that's that table. I think I was talking last week about just sitting down at a table. And God knocks on the door and says, I want to come in and eat with you. That's that closeness. He knows who we are. He knows the real us. It was created in eternity before your mum and dad were even born. The real you. That realizes there's something that needs to be anchored here. God says, I'm the one that can do it. I can't get over those words, unfailing love reaches to me. Have you ever seen a couple of people and you think, boy, they're a good match? Perfect match. They just seem to click. It can happen. Perfect match. And we can be negative about ourselves and think, well, golly, you know, who'd want this? Who'd want all this match? I'm sorry. And that was in that previous verse of, oh, can't live with myself. Now look, you know what the reality of it is? God created you as you are. As you are, your real deeper self. And then that's your person. It's you. And try and change yourself and say, well, I should be more serious. I should try and be more funny. If you are funny, you're funny. If you're serious, you're serious. And that's you. But you know what? God created you the way you are. And the Holy Spirit in you, individually, so personally, is the perfect match between God and you. You are God's perfect match. It is as though there's only one person in the world and God says, this is the one, this is my bride, this is the one I love everything about. He's got just what I can fit in with, and that's who you are, because the Holy Spirit fits every single individual their own special way. So I want you to see yourself as the perfect match to God. And you know what happens if you live with somebody for long enough, you start to become like them. Well, that's what God's saying. Getting close. You'll start to become more like me. Verse 9. So don't strain at the leash, pulling to go your own way. You know it's always safer and happier staying close to me. God knows that suffering will come into life, but now he says in verse 10, so much unnecessary suffering comes to self-willed, rebellious people, but abiding love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. So rejoice in him, all of you who know you belong to him. And shout for joy, all you who seek to do life his way. I just give thanks to God for David, who was honest. He saw what was going on, but it didn't stop him. It didn't stop him. A man who saw the iniquity in his own heart didn't stop him from calling himself the apple of God's eye, the perfect match. A man after God's own heart. And you think, wouldn't it be lovely to be David, but there's only one David. No, hang it all. You're the one David. God's saying to you, you've got a heart after my own heart, if only you knew it. Because every inch you take to get closer to me, that's your real heart coming home. You see, a hiding place is a place, but it's a person. It's a territory. Sometimes I get into that territory, it's like I feel like saying, I think I'm new around here. I'm pretty new here. Thought I'd been here before, but it's all new. God is saying, let me open up what it means. Closer to me, territory. We've all got what David's saying, a heart after God. God just wants to show us. Let's do life his way. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a new heart, a new spirit, putting your spirit within us. And even though life pushes us, you draw us, and your hand is upon us, and we rest in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.